Well, what I'll say is, like, Bear fans don't need to be patient. They can be as, you know, PO'd as they want to be. That's their every right as a fan. So they can feel how they want to feel in that regard. I think for us, like, the urgency's definitely kicked in, and, you know, we got to get some things figured out, and we haven't done that quite yet. We got to be a more consistent group, and that's what we're striving to do. And I know that's hard when, obviously, you have a rookie quarterback. There's elements to that that you got to work through, and, you know, Caleb's doing what he's got to do, but we got to help him along there in that regard. And we knew that there'd be some bumps the road a long way, but I would definitely say we're not at where we should be at right now, and we're working every day to get that fixed.
And I think that's the big thing. As we welcome you back into the Mully and Haw Show, along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network, I am Mark Grody. We are in for the gentleman today. And yes, look, I don't know how you picked the Bears at the beginning of the year when you went through the schedule. I don't even want to look back. I think I picked the Bears to win 11 games when the schedule came
what?
Out.
That's, remember how we... We've used the word DeLulu. That's
DeLulu.
Yes. A little DeLulu.
What is DeLulu, by the way? Is that delusional? Okay.
Yeah. It's an abbreviation for delusional.
That's just the sick way to say it. Right
yeah.
There.
That's like the Gen Z. Like, yeah, bro. You know. I think I had them winning nine games.
Okay. You're so reasonable, Ruthie.
That's, is it though? Now I'm the little, looking a little
yeah,
DeLulu.
DeLulu. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
But nine, to get five more wins here, it's going to be tough.
Oh, man.
Tough.
Yes.
And listen, to go off of that Cole Kmet quote, Cole's a little spicier this year, which yeah. I kind of like.
Yeah.
It's fine, you know, feels a little bit more maybe inclined to speak out, which I really enjoy because it's a guy that obviously you listen when he talks. And I love that because he's a Bears fan. Like, he grew up a Bears fan. So it's cool to hear him say, like, we get it. You know, the Bears fans are mad and you're entitled to every right to be mad.
Absolutely. He opened the doors. He understands it. The thing I like about Cole Kmet, to your point, he embraces his Bearsness. Like, we've had a lot of, like, in all the sports, and I've been in all the locker rooms, sometimes you hit these guys over the head with, you're from here, you're a local guy, and it's a responsibility they have to take on, but they get a little exhausted from which I understand, and there's a certain pressure that comes from it. Guys in the locker room or dressing room or whatever sport you're covering, they will give that guy crap. Oh, Mr., you know, the golden child, because you're from here. Cole Kmet likes it, talks about it. He referenced his grandfather yesterday when we were talking. Like, he does understand it and loves, and like DJ Moore, what I like about these guys that got paid, and you don't always see this, they seem to, their care seems to have gone up a notch.
Jalen Johnson in the mix there.
Perfect example. Because they know they're going to be here for a while. And they got their money. And now the next part is the glory.
The win.
Of winning. Right?
Right. Yeah. I think another guy you could loop in there with the embracing their Bearsness is TJ Edwards,
yeah,
which is
does.
Fun. Yeah, because he didn't start his career here. You know, so it's cool to hear from guys who have played elsewhere and now are, you know, embracing their Bearsness.
I don't know if you know about this, but I do. I have a scale that I do. I give guys Bears. Like, you could visualize them as stickers.
Yeah.
Like, guys that are from here, they get Bearsed. Like, I give them on a scale of 1 to 10. So you've got Cole Kmet. You have got TJ Edwards.
Yeah.
You've got Doug Kramer. Now, Doug Kramer, he did, going into the game, where he was given the handoff and he fumbled at the goal line in Washington, and I had to take a Bear away from him. He was at eight Bears because his automatic being from here, I had to take a Bear away because of the fumble. Now, it's not all his fault.
He would probably let you take that sticker away.
No, he could earn it back.
Yeah.
He can get the Bear back, but I had to take one away. Cole Kmet, man. I mean, I don't know if I've given out 10 Bears before, but he's got to be a little more productive on the field. I know that that's not his fault, as we have been discussing. But the fact that he embraces it so much, I mean, he's teetering. He's getting close to 10 Bears. Would you like to hear more from Cole Kmet?
The long snapper?
The long snapper. Yeah, the special team, the NFC special.
I would like to hear
that
more from Cole.
That is going to go down as such a great...
It was iconic.
Seriously.
Iconic.
It's going to go down as like one of those it's great trivia question. Like 10 years from now, we'll kind of remember. We'll remember it, but I'd be like... Who was the only Bears long snapper to ever get NFC? Because I don't think I don't know. Like, has Patrick Manley ever, the longest tenured Bear ever? Is Patrick Manley?
No, Cole Kmet was the first long snapper to ever win the award.
Oh, in the NFL?
In
ever?
The history of the award.
And that makes a lot of sense.
It was iconic.
It was. And there were
long snappers never get the love.
There were two other long snappers in the locker room after that game, too. Like, yo, where's our? They're yep. like, this is DeLulu, yo.
DeLulu.
This guy.
A little DeLulu.
This guy getting what? He comes in for what? He wasn't even snapping for punts. And DeLulu Kmet gets that award. Yeah, man. I don't know if they get money for that. If he does, if they do, I don't think, do they get money for those?
No.
I should know this.
I don't know.
There's not, well, there might be a, in their contract,
Bonnet.
There might
yeah,
be a
sure,
clause.
Sure.
If there is, I do hope that at the very least, Cole Kmet takes those guys out for dinner
yeah.
or something like that. Like, guys, I'm sorry about this. Yeah, really. Yeah. I, you know, Grody gave me 10 bears on the show the other day, so this is a big deal. But the conversation with Cole Kmet yesterday out at Hallis Hall had to just do with the tenor of the team. And we keep talking about all these meetings, and we talked earlier in the show about what the meetings really mean, and are they having too many, and what's really going on in these meetings. We know that some of them have been spirited, but we did talk to Cole Kmet about that stuff yesterday, and here he is.
We also get asked a lot as reporters, like, is there a strain in the locker room? Is there division at all between players, coaches, things like that? How do you answer that question on how this locker room is with the coaches and with everybody?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think we're really transparent with one another, which I think is a healthy and good thing. Look, I mean, I'm not going to get around that. We're all very emotional about this game. And, you know, I think, you know, the previous week after Washington, that kind of showed itself. But no, I don't feel like any sort of strain. I think it's we have a good partnership here with the coaches. And I do think there's good transparency between the two groups. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all about winning.
Is this as outspoken, though, as it's ever been since you have been with the Bears?
Gosh, I felt like last week was a little bit loud, for sure. I've seen a lot of crazy weeks here, I will say. So I don't know if I can say it was the craziest, but
oh, okay.
it was up there for sure. So I think we definitely, as players, could have handled it a little bit better.
Cole, give us your top five of crazy.
There's more than five, I guess.
That's great. What's your craziest week that you remember?
Wow. Oh, I was thinking of that, like putting together my top five. I think there were at least two, maybe three from last year.
The Allen Williams week.
Allen Williams week, for sure.
Wild.
And what is going on? And
even all the Chase Claypool drama.
Oh, that's so good.
That was all last year.
Oh, my God. That's great.
I've only been here. This is only my second season covering this team, and there has been plenty of. How about Justin Fields calling out Luke Getsy and then coming back and saying, that's not what I meant? Like, that was wild, too.
Boom.
There
you are
so
nailing
many
that.
That's three just last year.
So, to Kmet's point, he is right. I remember, Ruthie, when you first got here last year. And
that was the same day, the Allen Williams and the Justin Fields day.
Was it
that
really?
That was the same day.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying that was the day that you came to Chicago. That
oh,
was
no,
not,
no, 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 yeah. no. But those two things happened on the same day. I remember because I was hosting Football Night in Chicago and I was just refreshing my Twitter. I'm like, what is going on there right now? And the FBI's there. Like, no, they're not.
No,
they're not. No. They're not. They're not. They're not.
Yeah. Well, the wildest part about all of that. The you know, throws him under the bus, if you want to say. Luke Getsy gets thrown under the bus, and it gets out, right? Dan Weider, my guy, on the Take the North podcast, puts the tweet out there, and he wasn't wrong to do it. I mean, I know we could reanalyze it, and there were a lot of opinions on that, but in retrospect, he wasn't wrong. So it goes out there. Dan's got a big following, so it goes triple viral, if you will. And then all of a sudden, we're dealing with everything with Allen Williams, and I'm running around doing eight different things like always at Hallis Hall. That's just because that's what we all do out there. Then I'm getting text messages saying Justin Fields, who had already talked that day,
right,
is obviously available to talk to you guys again in the locker room. I might have even been on the air when that was going on. I want to say I was talking to Lawrence and Dan maybe, and then I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those days. It's on. Throw away all your notes, everything that you had planned, because we all have a plan
when
we go into Hallis Hall. You got some things on your mind. You got some angles you want to take care of. And then all of that went out the door, and we gathered around Justin Fields, who was furious. Like, he was breathless. And you know, Justin Fields is about as even keeled of a guy that I have ever covered. Like, you couldn't like find you couldn't. And that was good for him. That's a great trait. But he was sort of breathless when he was talking, and he was like, blame it on me. Blame it on me. I don't care. Blame it on me. Which was disingenuous on his part, because at that point he's just like, but sort of like Matt Eberflus this week, after everybody calling him out saying that you have to take more culpability, and then this week he's like, that's on me. That's on me. I had us in the wrong defense. That's on me. It starts with me. I'm responsible. You guys happy? That cool?
And that's on me.
Yeah, that good? That good? Is that what you guys want? Is that, you got it. You got it. And that was the same thing as Justin Fields, but that was a day.
Polinsky. That was a day. That was a day. And that was full of scandal and quarterback. So those, like, the two things together, like, was just an explosion of chaos. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and we didn't even get to like some of the
what else is in
like,
there?
I could give you more, like, just the chaos last year. See, we don't have to go that far back, and people could join in on the text line if you want to put together your top five of
bad
crazy Bears moments in recent history. If you want to go far back too, you're welcome to, because I could play that game. You know, I got Bears history in my head. But how about just the way last season began? And I know you were just getting started on knowing what Bearsdom is all about last year, Ruthie.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bears, like it so often happens, they got their butts kicked on opening night. Like last call for Justin Fields, a lot of us were like, okay, let's do
here
this.
We go.
Get over it.
DJ Moore. Woohoo.
Yes. You got DJ Moore. You got to prove yourself. We all know what's a coming. If you're not good, they go up against Green Bay and they lose to the Packers 38-20 at home.
And it wasn't even that close. And
booing at Soldier Field.
I was hosting the football after show last season with Dave Wanstead, also Alex Brown and Lance Briggs. So that was my introduction of like, welcome to Chicago. You know, it was like, here we go. And those guys are so, you know, outspoken. I got to watch the games with those guys.
Oh my God.
And it was just electric.
Yeah. You must have learned a ton.
Oh my gosh. It was the best. Those guys were the best.
Oh my God.
I owe so much to them. They were a blast to work with.
But I do remember like one of your first days, and you were in a press conference, and you had come from Miami, right? Mm-hmm. That was your previous stop. So you covered all the Miami teams. I know
there was a lot of chaos there too. I was there for the whole Brian Flores firing, lawsuit, all that.
Yes.
A lot of chaos.
So you had chaos there, but I remember it was just a regular rank and file press conference. And I remember you saying something like, wow, was it training camp?
Yeah.
And you were like, whoa.
I'll tell you what it was. It was literally the first day of training camp, or the first time we got to talk to Justin Fields. I think it might have even been like mini camp or like something crazy. And the first question to Justin Fields is, so you thinking about a contract? And I'm just like, this guy. I was like, are you guys kidding?
Yeah, no.
Like, that was crazy to me. I'm like, this poor kid, you know, just is trying to play football. And he's just trying to win. Like, he won 3 games last year. Like, chill, you know? Sure enough, he gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is.
It's like a different beast here.
It's a different animal.
And funny enough, it's actually quite relevant. But before I was in Miami, I worked in Rhode Island for 3 seasons. I covered the Patriots. That was Brady's last 3 years. So I've been around like a really tough media environment.
But they
like
were Boston, winning. They were winning, though.
They
right?
were winning, so. But it was the decline. If you remember, Brady's last season was not good in New England. And that's why I think like he didn't have a ton of options when he wanted to go test the waters, right? Like, he wanted to go a lot of places and people weren't really willing, including the Dolphins. Brian Flores didn't want to have Tom Brady there because, first of all, I think Brian Flores was trying to establish his own identity there.
Sure.
But if you remember, to Stephen Ross, there was that whole meeting at the boat. This all came out in the lawsuit. Do you remember this? So the tampering, all the things, they lost the picks, whatever. So I've been around sort of like chaos. And especially in New England, there was the whole Seth Wickersham piece that came out about the tension between Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of, and the Bill Belichick and Tom were not getting along. There was a lot of chaos when I was in New England. Never a dull moment. Antonio Brown, remember that little 10-day stint of Antonio Brown was there? That prepared me for anything. I also got to cover 2 Super Bowls, so thanks a lot, Tom. But also, it's, you know, it's it's a different beast. I would say probably the two toughest markets in turn, or maybe I'll include the four toughest markets to work in are Chicago, New York, mm-hmm. Philly, and Boston.
That's,
in terms of the media coverage,
yeah,
of the football team, really right. any sport,
right? The scrutiny and just the sheer amount of reporters,
yeah. But it is chaos here.
It is. No, I remember
in the best way.
I think it was Prince Amukamara, maybe, that I talked to, who played, obviously drafted by the Giants and played in the New York market. And I remember asking him, I always like to ask guys like who are from the large markets, like, how does Chicago compare? And I do remember him saying, like, oh, this is the most filled locker room I've ever been in.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the media, because you've got the New York media split between
totally
Jets and Giants. So, I mean, if New York had one team, they probably would. They'd
sure.
be like, no, the actual, like, conglomeration of reporters in a locker room on any given day
yeah.
is bigger there than anything he's seen in the NFL.
100%. I mean, that's fair. New England was crazy. Like on Brady days, like when Brady would talk,
God.
it was madness.
How did you handle Belichick days? That seemed like a pain. Like,
ugh,
I mean, I would honestly,
teeth.
From a reporter's perspective, like I would hate it to have had to deal with that guy.
Yeah, it was not, it was tough, but I was just a young reporter. It was my second market. And so I was just like trying to find my way. And I was like, one day I was like, I'm going to muster up the courage and ask Belichick a question.
Here we go.
And yeah. like they were winning, like things were going well. And I was like, come on, like you can do it. And sure enough, my heart is pounding
oh,
out of
yeah.
the chest.
I know
my
that
chest.
Feel.
I like black out. And I asked him a question about like they were playing the Chiefs. And I asked him a question about Mahomes. And, you know, this is still relatively early in the Mahomes, like, playing, you know, people starting to realize that he's a dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked Bill a question about him. He gave me like a, I don't know. I'm not in their building. I don't know. And I was like, okay. But then I think he like felt bad and then he continued to like ramble on. But like, it's an unusable soundbite, like from a TV perspective. Like,
yeah.
I didn't learn anything there, you know?
What did he say? So he said, did you feel relief though once you got the question out and he answered it in his because he obviously answered the question probably not a whole lot differently than he did for other did you feel okay after that because I know that anxiety
yeah I was just kind of like what was the point of that
yeah.
like I just got all worked up for literally not even anything I can use
yeah I remember like it is like you get that you know, people think this is you know easy but when you're first starting and
yeah.
like, even now like you're asking, especially if it's a hard question.
Yeah.
yeah, you get a little worked up, and you just hope to God that they and you always got to be ready. Like especially with this Bears team and like DJ Moore, Jalen Johnson, better be ready. Like if you're interviewing him, you better be ready for him to ask you a question back.
Oh yeah,
to clarify.
Oh yeah,
so always got to be ready for the short answer and somebody asking you to clarify further.
Yeah, and those guys are great. I mean. Those guys are fun to talk to and,
yeah.
and easy to talk to. But I think, yeah, I mean, and now Belichick, how about this guy? Now he's one of us.
Yeah.
You were so mean to us for so long.
Where do you get off, sir?
Now you're one of us.
Yeah.
So
you're
mean.
One of us. Yeah, there's been a lot of guys like that throughout, like guys that you never thought would be in media, and now here they are. Do you think Belichick will be
coach again?
Yeah, do you think he'll be a head coach again?
I'm sure he wants to.
Okay.
It's going to take the right situation for an owner to want to handle that.
Because you're handing over your team and
front
you're
office.
Handing over your media relations.
Yep.
Like that is a high maintenance coach.
I wonder if he would change his, you know, kind of objective and his kind of demeanor now having been on the other side of it. I wonder. Because
honestly, like I think that if he is to get another job, it will have been because he interviewed and whomever his boss is, unless he wants to just let him go full Bill Belichick, they'd probably have to be like, hey, you're going to need to be a little better with people.
Yeah.
And I understand like he does that in the name of winning, but you need to, you know, honestly.
Now he's got a Gen Z girlfriend who can help him.
That's right.
Gen
so he's
Z.
He's
she
70.
Probably says to Lulu.
Yeah, probably. Probably thinks he's the Lulu. Hey, man. So wait, he's 70 and she's what?
He's like 70
something or other. And she is like 24 something in that area. All right, we'll look that
72.
Up. 72 years old. Okay, Bill. All right. He's on the...
he's not coming here this weekend, by the way. For the game.
Bill is not.
Bill's not the coach.
Bill's not going to be in the house.
No.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe.
All right. We're open, by the way. Do you guys want to jump in? 312-644-6767. Ruthie Polinsky, Mark Grody, in for Mully and Haw. We're also going to play some Matt Eberflus on that topic of team meetings and how real these team meetings are. We'll get to some of that as well. And your calls, 312-644-6767 on the score.
I don't know.
In our team meetings, you know, we have one pretty much every day, right? We have one Monday. We don't have one on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have them Friday. We have them. You know, we have a team meeting to outline the day, outline what we're getting accomplished that day, what the focus is for that particular day. And to me, that was just like any after action report when we win or lose a game. So it's various things, but our team meetings are productive.
On the floor on Monday, what was the vibe?
It's always good. It's always good. Our guys are all in. They're always all together. And they're pulling on the same rope, and that's what they've always done.
DJ Edwards said that he felt like you guys needed that meeting, that you weren't sugarcoating things, and that. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like it was a productive and conducive atmosphere?
Yeah, I think it was a Monday meeting like we always have.
Now, that is Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. As we welcome you back to the Mully and Haw Show, Ruthie Polinsky and Mark Grody with you and at your service. 312-644-6767. Going to get to a couple of your calls here in a second. I see you guys. Is the media, that's us, that's me, that's Chris Emma right there asking the question, Patrick Finley as well, and I'm in on it too, because we're all kind of, you know, we're hearing things that might have been a spirited Monday meeting. Clearly, Matt Eberflus wanted nothing to do with that concept. How did you see it, Ruthie? And I know you were not out there yesterday, so for those of us that are, you know, on the beat, maybe we get a little bit too ingrained into it. How did that hit you?
I think Matt Eberflus has been waiting to probably clarify that there was nothing special about having a meeting on a Monday after a game. Like, they do that every week. I think the players have been very on lots of different airwaves, including these airwaves of 670 score. I think they bring up these meetings because it's an opportunity for people to speak up, and it's a great, you know, it's a time for people to air their grievances or whatever it may be. So we're hearing a lot about these team meetings because the players are bringing it up. But I think that was an opportunity for Matt Eberflus to clarify, like, there was nothing unique about having, it's not like a, you know, when you hear about in baseball, I feel like you hear about like a players only meeting. It's like, blah, like, you know, it's hit.
Were you
it's
about to do your Bill Belichick again? Were you about to do it?
No. So I think that's what that felt like to me. He was like, it was good vibes. Everything's fine. I think also the team meeting on this Monday was probably a little bit different than last Monday's team meeting after the Washington game. It was such a devastating loss. Like, it was so earth-shattering. And then obviously after the fact with the Tyreek Stevenson thing going viral, and it was just like off. It was the, you know, the lead on all the national shows. Like, it was just so horrible for anyone, like emotionally exhausting for anyone. This loss was very much like, we just got our butts kicked. Like, we need to be better. There wasn't anything emotional about it other than we got to be better. And so I think it's maybe like, it felt to me like Matt Eberflus was saying, like, we're in a good space. Like, we know what needs to happen, versus last week it was like, oh my God, how do we move on from this?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is like, okay, we're not playing up to our standard right now.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, if they would have won that Washington game and the Hail Mary wouldn't have worked, there would have been a lot of cover up of a lot of what went wrong in that game. Like, three quarters of that game was horrid football. I mean, the defense played great, but for them to kind of have these two losses now back to back, it's like, okay, let's wash this out of our mouth. We know we're better than this. And I'm not saying I think they're necessarily better than this right now, but if I'm Matt Eberflus, okay, and I'm leading the team meeting, I'm saying, guys, we are better than this. This is not up to our standards. We just had a really, really emotionally exhausting loss in Washington. We just got our butts kicked in Arizona. Let's wash it. let's turn the page. It just feels a little easier to turn the page this week than it did last week. So that was kind of my takeaway from yesterday's vibe versus last week. And even Caleb Williams said last, you know, we didn't turn the page quick enough last week. It feels like they've turned the page from Arizona, if you ask me. And they're ready to kind of bounce back here at home.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Washington game, there were egregious errors by head coach, by offensive coordinator, with the Doug Kramer thing, and you can even say that's error on quarterback and offensive lineman on the handoff connection. Just that just sounded funny to me coming out of my mouth. Like Doug Kramer was there
taking the handoff.
They were trying to run Doug Kramer.
Yeah.
It's hitting me again. And God, the Kramer thing, man. I'll be honest with you. I was not as livid as everybody else, especially in real time. And I know that people came undone over it because it's easy to just to lose your mind. But if the Doug Kramer play had worked.
Shane Waldron's a genius if that worked.
And he's a folk here. He gets 11 bears. He would get
Doug Kramer would get 11 bears.
If you pulled that off. That's an automatic 11
bears.
But
that's I think what was so frustrating about it is like, You aren't good enough yet to do that. You aren't the Lions.
I know. And
that's a play you do when you're not up one score, when you're not up two scores. That's a play that you're like, let's try it. It's like, F it. Let's try it. You know, right. Like, it's not even a play where it's like, okay, we could really put the game away here. Let's score and we'll put the game away. That's like a, like, we're crushing the team that we're playing. Let's try this. You know? So I can't get behind it. I hear you that if it would have worked, you're a genius. But that's everything in the NFL,
Let
right?
Let me ask you this. What do you think if going into that game, if there was a survey, if we did like an online poll and people asked, do you want to see Doug Kramer have the ball in his hands? What do you think the percentage of Bears fans would have said yes? I think it's over 50%.
Because Doug Kramer, like, poor guy, but he was being celebrated in this city as the mini fridge.
Of course.
I mean, he was
at this radio station.
He changed the offense.
They had on the afternoon show with Spiegel and Holmes, the Spiegel and Holmes show, they had a mini fridge in here. Now, apparently, it was unplugged by, David Haw unplugged the mini fridge and moved it.
We never saw the mini fridge in the studio.
Oh, really?
They leave other things behind, but not a mini
fridge.
Oh,
really? Yeah. Is this an issue? Are they not cleaning up after themselves? Is that what's going on here, Dustin?
I'm happy they're going out to Stadium Swim at Circa.
The afternoon show is going to Vegas, Ruthie.
I know.
That's what's going down.
I have FOMO.
So
it is. It's awesome.
What, the afternoon show?
Well, that too. Yeah, but Stadium Swim and Circa, awesome.
No, yeah. It is awesome. And I've never been there, but I've seen the pictures. I'm like, my God, they're doing a show from a pool. And Derek Stevens is hilarious.
And then you get Vegas Haw.
And you get Vegas Haw.
Vegas Haw. Vegas Haw.
Yeah.
Vegas Haw.
Yeah. That's a whole creation, man.
Wow.
Vegas Haw. So what would you put it at? Doug Kramer, survey. Are you with me? Would it have been over 50%? Or are you going to be reasonable again?
But that's because people are DeLulu.
Yeah, DeLulu. DeLulu is the word of the day.
Unplug the mini fridge.
Bring me Wayne from West Lafayette. Wayne, you're on the score.
Mark Grody. It's always great to hear Mark Grody and whoever's with him, buddy. And whoever's with him is Miss Ruthie. Miss, great to meet you for the first time, Miss Ruthie.
Hi, Wayne. Great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you bet. You bet. Grody's my buddy, man.
Yeah, man. We go way
back. We've been together from way, way back.
A long time. We've been doing a show now for 11 years, you and I, man. It's like a show, right?
We invented the before, you know, what do you call it? You and Grobber and I used to get on.
Transition?
Before.
Yeah.
Transition, yeah. I can't think of the word. I'm stage struck. Hey, old buddy, before I get on with my Bears question, I'm going to come see you Monday night. Up in New Buffalo.
Oh, that's your territory. That's your territory.
With Coach.
Yeah.
We're going to come up and see you guys, man. So look forward to maybe meeting up with you for the first time, old buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild to consider, the fact that you and I have never met. We've been talking for, what, 10 years, Wayne?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pen pals.
Yeah, we're pen pals.
Met, met Dustin one time because I won a trip for me and three of my friends to the Hawthorne Racetrack, and he was there with Hanley.
Oh, nice.
So, Dustin and I have met before. He was helping me make some good bets, then I went out on my own and I lost everything.
Wow. I bet you. So, by the way, we got Nick Costos coming up, man, so be listening.
That's great, buddy. Anyway,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, old buddy. Yeah, what I'm thinking is we got all these talented people on offense. I mean, all of them. They're so talented. Why can't somebody figure out a way to get them open and have plays that they can really, really – I mean, I understand our quarterback's running for his life most of the time, but there ought to be some ways to get some plays for all these very talented people we got.
Oh, right? Yeah, man. Hey, you know what, Wayne? And thanks for the call, man. I look forward to meeting you out at the event, which I'm going to talk about here.
Thanks, Wayne.
In just a second. But, Ruthie, it just goes back to what we're talking about. Like, that's the problem. The Bears are very talented.
And I wonder if they need to reduce the menu for Caleb. Put less on his plate.
Oh, no. We're not at that point, are we?
We're not?
But we probably are. No.
I mean, I'm every point
right
now.
I'm dreading that because that happened with the previous two quarterbacks.
But same thing. But it's clear that there's something's not working.
Something
right?
is amiss.
Something's not working. He's missing open guys. People are not in the right places, it seems. The scheme isn't clicking. There's no rhythm. Just make it easy. For a second, just build back the confidence. I'm not saying forever.
Yeah.
But it does feel like there's too much going on. And like, it just doesn't need to be that hard for this guy who is supposed to be the best of his generation.
Yeah,
I know. He's supposed to be Pat Mahomes, they told me.
Right. Well, hey, I'll tell you this. You're damn straight that Cole Kmet's going to see the football. I mean, I promise you.
First throw to Cole.
Probably,
let's go, baby.
Yeah, and maybe that's right. Ruthie, you might be right. Maybe six or seven, like when he is open and he's the outlet guy or he's just kind of hovering over the middle like he does, then maybe he's going to get the football this week. So I do think that that's going to happen. Texters, of course, think I'm crazy for the Doug Kramer survey. Grody, you are lost. Are you high? 1%. And then
Dulu.
Yes, which is the word of the day, kids. And you should, by the way, Wayne brought it up. I'm going to meet Wayne this week or on Monday, apparently. And I'm hoping that I can meet some other Score fans as well. Join Coach Dave Wanstead and myself, Mark Grote, live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds Football Forecast next Monday. The event is free to the public and starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Central. Wani will be giving a mid-season review and forecast the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph and a photo with Coach Wanstead before the Monday night game. That's next Monday, November 11th, Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan.
A photo with Coach? How much is that going to cost me?
Oh, man, you know, well, I don't know. For you, I think, Wani, I think we can get you a freebie. We'll see.
I love that, man.
We have connections here at the Score. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Nick Costos. So get your betting thoughts ready, Ruthie. Next.
I'm ready.
On the Molly and Haw Show on the Score.
My God, what a happy day it is when I talk to Mark Grody and anybody else who's with him.
I want winners.
Welcome back to the Molly and Haw Show, along with Ruthie Polinsky. I am Mark Grody. On the line now is the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast. For more analysis, just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. And all guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. What's going on, Nick? How are you this morning?
Mark and Ruthie, how's it going? Great to be on with you.
Yeah, man, we're doing well. Thursday night football tonight. You are the prop king. What you got for us, Bengals at the Ravens?
Well, first off, as far as the side of the game goes, Mark, currently Ravens are a 6-point home favorite tonight against Cincinnati. Obviously a huge game for the Bengals. If Cincy wins, Cincy's all the way back at 500. Obviously trying to get into a playoff push here as we enter the second half of the NFL regular season. season. And I do like Cincinnati to cover the spread. I don't know if the Bengals will win this game, but at 6 or 6.5, I feel like it's too many points. It's Joe Burrow with that offense against a bad Ravens secondary. And they acknowledge, Mark, that the secondary is bad with their trade for Tre'Davious White a couple days ago at the deadline. Tre'Davious White's been terrible this season, so Baltimore knows it has a bad secondary. So I think Cincinnati will cover. And then let's take the squarest prop imaginable, and that'll be Ja'Marr Chase over 80.5 receiving yards tonight. T. Higgins is unlikely to play, and I think Chase has a huge day against his bad Baltimore defense. So Chase over 80.5 receiving yards, and I will take the points with the Bengals.
Dustin is scribbling notes down right now, just so you know, Nick. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, I've been giving Dustin winners for like 5 years now. I hope so.
There it is. There it is. Hey, Nick, okay, Bears and Patriots, obviously this should be a get-right game for the Bears. This game opened at 7, but it's moved a bunch, right? And now it's at, what is it, 6.5 now?
Exactly, Ruthie. Bears, a 6.5 point home favor. Total is 39. And I think all the movement that we'll see from now until kickoff will be entirely predicated by the Bears injury report, right? Mm. Like which defensive players are going to play in the game. You know, bad news yesterday with Billings is going to be out for a while. Brisker will miss this game. Like, are Sweat and Gordon going to be back in this game for Chicago? And if they're not, I could see the Patriots getting bet. If they are back, like definitely back, I think we could see Chicago getting bet. I think we're right in the range here of where this game should be. Made me bet the game against the spread. I take the points with the Patriots, but worth noting, like when the Bears have played bad teams this season, like they generally roll up on them, and we saw that in the two games leading up into the bye week. But Ruthie, my preferred bet for this game, I like the over. I like over 39 here, where the Bears offensive line has not been great this year. Darnell Wright's going to be out. I don't think the Patriots pass rush is going to threaten Caleb Williams at all in this game. So I think the Bears should be able to score and have a better offensive effort. And then on the flip side, like Drake May's been really good this season, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots, and I think the Patriots can do enough on their end to get this over the total. So I'll go over 39 on Sunday in the Super Bowl 20 rematch.
Nick, what about college football? What's hot there for you? What are you thinking?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm like beyond obsessed with the college football playoff rankings that came out the other day, and we spent a ton of time on the show talking about those yesterday, trying to figure out like what the best bets are going to be for the college football playoff. But as far as a game coming up this weekend, so Georgia, I guess there's two huge games this weekend. Both are in the SEC. Not quite full both elimination games for both teams, like wrestling parlance, loser leaves town. But we have Georgia at Ole Miss. Georgia's a 2.5 point favorite in the game. It's probably an elimination game for Ole Miss as far as the playoff is concerned. And I do like Georgia in the game. I think we get a clean Carson Beck game here, Georgia's quarterback. I'll lay the 2.5 with Georgia on the road at the Grove at Ole Miss. And then we have an actual, like, full-on elimination, loser leaves town game. Winner almost certainly out of the college football playoff, and that's going to be Alabama at LSU at Death Valley on Saturday night. The current point spread is 3. I'll actually take the 3 with LSU. I don't think Bama pulls away and wins this game by margin. I think if Bama does win, I think it's by 3 at most, so I would push my bet. And I think LSU's quarterback Garrett Nussmeier will outplay Alabama's quarterback Jalen Milrow, so I'll take the 3 on Saturday night with LSU against Bama.
Let's go back to the NFL real quick. What other games are you looking at?
Oh, well, I mean, all of them.
Obviously.
Love all of them. I'll give you a couple that stand out. I think we have, and I'm just looking at the point spread here. Oh, I can't say WTF, wrong team favorite anymore. The Jets are now a 1-point road favorite in Arizona. The Jets should be favored in that game at the Cardinals, and this is not meant to be disrespectful to the Bears. Arizona was a favorite last week at home against Chicago. The Jets are better than the Bears, despite what the record indicates. Like, I think that's just the truth. Not trying to hate on Chicago. So I think the Jets need to be favored in the game. The Jets are favored now, so I do like the Jets to win on the road in Arizona. One other, I think we will see the Colts get bet a little bit as a home dog against the Buffalo Bills, where last week against Minnesota on Sunday night, it's a really bad stylistic matchup for Joe Flacco up against the Flores Blitz. I think that he will have an easier time this week against Buffalo's defense, so I will take the Colts +4 at home against Buffalo on Sunday.
Nick, hot stuff as always, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Nick.
Hot stuff. My wife said that to me like 5 years ago. No one said that to me since.
Never since?
Maybe like on our wedding day, but since then, probably not. Appreciate it. Wishing you guys and the listeners, Minimal Sweats Winning Bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, man. That was the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We're going to keep it hot, Ruthie, because we're bringing
yeah, we are.
Baldy's coming up, man. Baldy's Breakdown. Excited. Brian Baldinger talks Bears and NFL next with us here on the Mully and Haw Show on The Score.